Hello, hello. Thanks for listening to Guidance Counselor 2.0. Listen, I want to give you a quick rundown of what this podcast is and what you're about to get into as you listen to these episodes. We had guidance counselors in middle school. We had guidance counselors in high school, but we didn't really have guidance counselors in college. And now as professionals, we don't really have anybody to turn to ask a quick question, to learn something about the job search or to navigate your career. And so that is what I want this podcast to be for you. I want it to be a tool for you to navigate the job search and your career. So that being said, I hope you enjoy this episode. And if you need to reach me, Taylor@vaco.com is how to get in touch with me, old fashioned email, social media at TDESSEYN. And finally, please rate and review this in the App Store because I want this to be discoverable for others so they can navigate their careers. Hope you enjoy the episode.
Enough of me running my mouth. Casey, let's give the people what they want. Who are you? What do you do? And we'll go from there.
Yeah. So I'm Casey Wall. I'm a junior developer. I've only been doing this for a year now, which is crazy. But my story to get where I am right now started with COVID-19. Just straight about the most crazy COVID-19 story that you've probably heard.
We're going to talk about it for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I made the transition. I was an English teacher working in China. When that kind of fell through for some crazy reasons, I had to find something else and I got into tech, and that started me on this crazy journey and is, you know, what landed me here. So
I love it.
That's that.
So Casey, I want to go ahead and dive into your crazy story. So when I first met Casey, I was like, Casey, man, tell me about yourself. And he was like, yeah, you won't believe this. And he told me his story. So Casey, can you give a quick rundown of your story from COVID on?
Yeah. So January 10th, 2020, I was living in Beijing. I was teaching at a boarding school, a high school in north side of Beijing. I lived like 40 minutes from the Great Wall and I never got to see it.
Oh,
crazy. It sucked. But yeah, it's just nuts. But I didn't know that I wasn't going to be going back. So January 10th, I flew out of Beijing, went back to the States to see my family, because it's Chinese New Year. So like everyone's traveling in January in China. So flew back. And then while I was home in the States, you know, there started these weird murmurs coming out of China, like, there's something weird happening in Wuhan and some weird stuff happening. And I don't know, we're going to keep an eye on it. And then, you know, I got some correspondence from my school. They were like, hey, we're not going back to school. So we're going to be online, but we need you to get back to Beijing. And at the same time, I was hearing things from the US side, like the government's like, do not travel to China, do not go. So I told myself, okay, well, I'm going to go to Thailand. So I'm going to be close to China, but not in China. And I'll teach remotely from there. And then when the US government gives me the green light, then I'll pop back to Beijing. It's going to be a thing. So ended up, you know, sitting on an island in Thailand for a while.
A quick little thing. Just a quick little.
Yeah. Sorry. What was that?
No, I just was making a joke that it's just going to be a quick little blip on the radar. Narrator, it was not a quick little blip.
Oh. It was not a quick blip. So yeah, sorry. Long story short, got to Thailand, got stranded in Thailand, ended up back in the States when it was all said and done because China shut the border. Had to find something else.
You had to like take like a boat back, right? Like you had to like basically smuggle a boat.
Not back to the States. So I had to take get on a commercial ferry from Thailand or from the island I was on back to Bangkok. And then from Bangkok, they had humanitarian flights flying out. But the ferries were the passenger ferries were closed. I had to get on like a commercial ferry. It's kind of crazy.
Crazy. So ended up back in the States. And I think that's pretty much where we met. So you settled in what? South Dakota?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. And Yeah. Not many people from South Dakota that I know. So I want to talk about boot camp, right? So I talk a lot about this and I don't know what goes in. I don't know what goes into a boot camp. So what boot camp did you go to and why did you choose that one?
So when I decided, you know what, there's a lot of transferable skills between English and tech in terms of like language acquisition.
Sure.
You know, I spent the time learning Mandarin. I was like, I can be comfortable doing that. I did a ton of research on, okay, well, if I'm going to do this, I'm not going back to college. I already have a degree. I don't have the luxury of going for another four-year degree. So that kind of ruled out the whole computer science degree. I did a bunch of research online, found a few different like ways to become a software developer. There's the self-taught route, and then there's bootcamp route. And I've, you know, I watched a ton of videos, read a lot of articles about the pros and cons of doing each. And I settled on going the bootcamp route because it seemed like the shortest distance between two places for me. So, okay. You know, I decided well, I'm going to do a bootcamp. I don't really have the luxury of teaching myself everything. And I know that like, if I get stuck trying to learn this thing, I don't really have the luxury of time to like do anything, like to just sit and figure it out. You know, I put all the chips on the table and went all in on becoming a software developer. So I went to Coder Foundry. I found them through their YouTube channel. And then, you know, I had applied probably to a dozen different boot camps, and Coder Foundry was the only one to me from my analysis that seemed like they really were looking for people, like they were investing in me as much as I was investing in the program. You know, there were a few programs, you know, I'm not going to like, you know, call out anybody, any other boot camp, because I haven't taken any other boot camp, but there were a few where it just seemed like, okay, you're going to apply, but as long as you give us money, like you're in, we're going to do the thing. But Coder Foundry seemed very like, no, we don't just want any and everyone in here. We want people who are going to take this seriously, and because we're going to take you seriously. Everything from, you know, by the time I got in an interview, like I had to go through an interview to get into the bootcamp first. And when I went into that interview, you know, the guy who interviewed me, first of all, he's like the face of the YouTube channel that they have too. So I was like, oh, recognizable face.
Right.
And then after that, he was already asking about, so you were living in China. What did you learn there? Why did you decide to come to the, like, he knew everything about my background when I got into that interview. And that gave me a lot of confidence with the program. Yeah. And I think like following through with it, I mean, it was a great program. I felt like for what they advertised, like I got my money's worth out of the program. Dude. And I felt really equipped by the time I was done with it.
Did you do like 3 months, 6 months, a year, full-time, part-time? Give me kind of some color on that.
Sorry, can you say that one more time? It kind of broke up just a little bit.
Yeah. Did you do like 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, part-time, full-time?
It was full-time 3 months. So full-time, it was fast and furious. Yeah, it was full-time 3 months. And if there was anything, like, I wish it was longer, just in terms, because like I learned a ton and there was a lot more to learn. But at the same time, you know, I worked hard for those 3 months, man. I think it was like 10 to 12 hours a day, every single day, personally. Like we had 8 hours a day of instruction. And then I vowed every day, 2 to 4 hours before or after class, going in, reviewing, you know, I recorded every single lecture. I went back and watched recordings of things that I didn't understand. So it was, it took a lot. It was dedication.
What's your biggest advice or a few tips for people wanting to get into code school? Cause I kind of want to dive into what you just said too, about you took extra time, you recorded the sessions. You know, I think one thing I admire about you is you're super intentional. At least you seem like it, how you kind of operate everything. What's some key piece of advice for junior devs that may watch this now or in the future who may be debating on a bootcamp?
Do your research. Not all bootcamps are the same. Ask questions. If you get the opportunity, first of all, like see if they give you opportunities to ask questions. Is there an interview to get into the bootcamp? Do you talk with a real person to get into the bootcamp? When you do ask them questions, ask about what kind of contract am I entering into? What is your obligation and what is my obligation? When it comes to this bootcamp, and what do they say they're going to give to you? And then, for me, like I went on LinkedIn and I asked, you know, I found other people who had been through Coder Foundry and I was like, hey, what was your experience with Coder Foundry? And for me, like doing that, I got very consistent feedback from graduates. I'd found graduates who had already found jobs, and they were, you know, they kind of gave me a forecast of what to expect. And that again gave me a lot of confidence in the program itself.
Well, I love that.
You know, just do your research. Absolutely do your research.
I love that. So you went to boot camp. Talk about your mentality going through boot camp, right? And again, I try to really dig into the mentality of it, because I feel like the individuals that I've talked to on this show that have gone through boot camp that have been successful, there is a grind mentality. Can you talk about the mentality you had going through boot camp and maybe some things that were playing in your head every single day? Because I'm sure it's 3 months of anxiety ridden, just you're trying to learn, find a job.
It was a little anxiety ridden, but for me, it was more just because of my circumstances at the time. Like, I didn't have a job. I had a degree. I had student loans, and everything I owned was in another country halfway around the world. So circumstantially, I was like, well, this is it. Like, it's like pass or fail. So for me, the mentality was, you have to do this. You have to. You do this or you're letting yourself down. And that wasn't me. I'm not the type of person who likes to put tons of pressure on himself. So like, I don't want to like come across as like this like super hardcore guy, because I'm not. I'm really not. I'm a pretty laid back person most of the time about most things. But in this particular circumstance, it was like, I have to do this. So, yeah. but at the same time, you know, for me personally, I was like, well, I've done harder things than this too. Coding is hard. It's really hard. It's not like surviving a pandemic hard, and it's not like learning Chinese hard. So I was like, I know intellectually or in my head, I was like, I know I can do this. But you know, I've done the research. I know what kind of dedication this is going to take. So that's what I got to do. I guess that's.
Go ahead.
Oh no, I was just going to say that was the mentality. It's sink or swim, and gotcha. You know you can do this, so just do it.
Do you see any junior devs commonly make the same mistakes over and over again?
So you said,
yeah,
who
just,
makes the do, same mistake do, do over see, and over again?
Yeah, do you see junior devs going through boot camps making kind of similar mistakes that you maybe want to talk about at all?
I think the mistake that I see the most is admitting defeat too early, or not taking inventory of like, okay, if there's something I don't understand, like not going to the thing that they don't understand and asking I've identified a concept, or I've identified a framework or something, or I've identified a context that I don't understand, and now I need to understand it, and then asking about that thing. I think that's the one thing that people just say, coding is hard. I don't understand it. I'm going to quit, or I'm going to get defeated, where it's like, no, there's only one thing, or there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Like, write that. For me, what I did is I wrote them out and I said, I don't understand why this thing I'm doing isn't working, or I don't understand dot notation, or object-oriented programming. And like, that's like the super, super basic stuff. Right. But like, that's where I was at one point. Everyone is.
Yeah.
So ask those things. Like, you can't know what you don't know. You have to go out and find out. I think that's the biggest mistake, is getting defeated too soon and then not following up on the thing you don't understand.
I love it. So, all right. I want to jump into kind of the next thing. And I think it's how you and I got connected, which is content. Right. And again, I know people are like, damn, here we go again. Talking about content again. So talk about your, and then real quick, Raymond, it's great to see you, buddy. It's great to see you the other night as well. And then Garrett, it's great to see you. It's definitely been a minute. So it's good to see you, buddy. So Casey, let's talk about content, right? Talk about what got you interested in content. And then we'll obviously talk about where you've gone, and you're rolling out some pretty cool stuff, which I'm a big fan of. So talk about when you started to see the ROI with content, even as a junior developer.
The ROI, it's amazing how quickly I felt like I was getting some return. Not necessarily a job, not necessarily an offer, but it was you're an interesting person. You're doing interesting things.
Yeah.
And like, whenever I would talk to a new recruiter, predominantly through LinkedIn in my area, talking, just, you know, messaging people. Or like one thing I would do on this show, I would be in the comments talking with whoever was on that day and inboxing them afterwards and saying, hey, I love what you said about this thing. But, you know, I was trying to be really intentional with the questions I was asking to whoever might be on, if it was a hiring manager, and have important questions to ask, and then say, hey, I actually just wrote something about a concept you talked about, and I really resonated with that concept. Can you talk to me more individually about it? And it was cool because like I could talk with somebody and they could either like correct or refine my understanding of something. So one, all of a sudden I'm learning, or two, I'm putting something in front of a hiring manager like, hey, here's a project that I built and here's some core concepts that we talked about that I'm learning. What kind of feedback do you have? Or when I put my resume in front of a recruiter, hey, here's also some content that I've made on some core topics. Or I'd finish an interview and say, hey, we talked about this in the interview today. If you want to know more about what's going on in here, I made a YouTube video. Check out like this project that I'm working on, or check out this piece of content that I wrote that kind of shows the depth of my understanding of the subject. And I think ultimately that's what ended up landing me the current job that I have, because the hiring manager straight up went through to my content and looked through my GitHub repos, checked out the content that I wrote. There was a question I got in the interview that I didn't know how to answer. And before the second interview, I sent him an article that I wrote about the topic that I didn't understand in the first interview, with a full explanation and a coding sample saying, hey, I didn't understand this a couple days ago, but I do now. Here's what I know about it.
That's huge. So, all right. So you started. So, all right. I said we're going to talk about content. I want to talk about networking though, real quick. Talk about networking. Talk about how you did it as well. And then we'll kind of go back to the content thing. So let's talk on the networking side real fast. Like, what was your strategy to network as a junior developer coming out of bootcamp?
First part of the strategy was talking to people who had taken my bootcamp previously and asking them how they got their jobs and how they networked. Yeah, at Coder Foundry.
Start there. Yep. Absolutely. I preach that all the time. Start with your community first.
Yep. And it was amazing too. There were two or three people who I still talk to today. There was one guy, the guy who I would say was the most helpful towards helping me learn how to network, from Coder Foundry specifically, because like this show helped a lot too, like very, very specific, you know, not just trying to like stroke egos or anything, but it did. Like, this show was great.
Appreciate it.
But the one guy specifically, like, he reached out to me last week. He was like, hey man, I'm looking to see what's out there. You know, I've got a great job, but I'm looking for something else. Like, if you hear anything, you know, send it my way. And so like, we're still communicating like with those people who were there at the very beginning. So I asked them like, hey, what are you doing to network?
Yeah. Sorry. I would say, well, what were those conversations like? Cause I think that's what freaks people out. Like, I'm supposed to message people, random people. So like, what were those conversations like?
Conversations were, first it was okay. I have some quotas for the number. How am I trying to say this? Being intentional about not just reaching out to everyone, not every recruiter on the planet, but, you know, using the filters on LinkedIn to filter by my area or filter by my, you know, the tech stack that I use, and then finding people within, you know, that tech stack who are hiring managers or recruiters specifically, and saying, hey, I'm so-and-so and I noticed that I try to find some reason beyond just, hi, I'm looking for a job to talk to somebody, you know, like I don't want to be all work, and I want to like be relatable on more than a do something for me content. Like, no, like let's be interesting people together too. If not friends, because there's a couple of recruiters who I still talk to who are just, I consider them friends now, you know, and
I love that.
That's cool. Like, I'd rather it be like that than.
What were those conversations like though with Coder Foundry people? I mean, like was it, hey, I saw where you went to Coder Foundry. I'm graduating. How did you find a job? And was it that specific?
Kind of. The first guy that I got connected to, I asked like the instructors. I was like, hey, who's crushing it right now? Who graduated and who's doing great? And they were like, oh, this guy. This guy just got a job, and he was in our last cohort. He got a job before the cohort even finished. Why don't you reach out to him? And so not only did I reach out to him, but then he was like, hey, you know what? Let's get a group of people in the current cohort together. Let's meet on a Saturday morning for whoever wants to go. And I will walk you through what I do every single day or what I did to get my job before I even finished.
Wow.
So like we met, there were probably eight people in our cohort who got together with the one person. And he like, again, I recorded the whole thing. I still have that content that he just volunteered his time and showed us all his like blueprint
for how he reached out. What was that person's secret sauce?
I'm trying to remember like what was the thing? I think the thing with him was volume. It was before he even graduated, he was spending time every morning and every evening after class and before class connecting to recruiters on LinkedIn and connecting to people. Like it was persistent and consistent. And this was a guy too. This was a guy who graduated with a computer science degree and then did a boot camp for the portfolio. Like he did the portfolio in addition to a CS degree. So he is already like probably a step ahead of a lot of people. So full disclosure too, like he already had more up than a lot of people probably do. Coming out of a boot camp, but he also like he had a mission and he was implementing that every single day and didn't let setbacks discourage him. He was like, no, I'm going to do this. And so he was doing it through the course of the boot camp before he even got out. And to me, that was important too, because once you finish a boot camp, there's a huge shift in what your priorities are. You're still learning to code, but you're not 8 hours a day coding and then, you know, networking a little in the evening. You flip that around and you're like, now I'm networking 8 hours a day or, you know, applying for jobs and making content. That's the bulk of what you're doing. And I'm coding to continue to like learn in public and stuff too. But if you don't start practicing like how to network before you end the boot camp, day one after the boot camp, you kind of like, you know, the dust settles and you're like, wait, what do I do now? Like, so, what's the next thing that happens?
So let's talk about that, right? Again, kind of going from zero to one out of boot camp. So boot camp structured, coming out of boot camp, no structure. How did you structure your days? And this is something I get really specific on with every guest out of boot camp. How did you structure your days out of boot camp?
It was a learning curve. I'll say that much. It wasn't like, you know, day one out of the boot camp, I had an idea of what I was doing and then I just stuck with it. It was a learning curve. I had to learn how to like record all my interactions with recruiters. I had to keep track of all my applications. I had to keep track of what recruiters were next to, you know, like connected to what jobs. I had to learn how to allocate time to creating content. And that content strategy couldn't just be today I want to post about this thing, you know, like there kind of had to be like I was working on this and now I'm working on this that improves on this and that improves on this, right? Or content that's and some of it was just networking content too, like, hey, yeah, I had a really cool conversation with so-and-so the other day, thanks for taking some time to meet with me, you know. So I had to start being intentional about the ratio of what I'm posting about too. Maybe we can save it, because I was going to say like that kind of this tool that I created a tool to like help people with that process immediately out of a boot camp so that they don't have to have as big of a learning curve after they finish that boot camp.
Yeah. We can definitely talk about that. Maybe another session. We can talk about today too. I want real quick when structuring your day, what would your mornings look like in general? And what would your afternoons look like in general? We don't have to go hour by hour, but as a whole, what did you do in the mornings and what did you do in the afternoons?
Mornings, I prioritized getting a job. Like my best thinking hours were like, okay, this is when I'm reaching out to people. Okay. This is when my mind feels fresh. Yep. This is when I feel the most personable, you know. Okay. This is when I want to do the work of finding the work. And then usually in the afternoons, that was more, okay, now I'm going to code. I'm going to code in the afternoon, or I'm going to capture what I learned in the morning and then turn that into content. And you know, sometimes there was a little bit of flipping of that too, just depending on on a situational basis. But I would say I would weigh the mornings heavily towards job applications and networking, and then the evenings towards, or afternoons and evenings as more like coding and, you know, continuing to build my portfolio.
I love that. I love that. Last thing I want to talk about today, and again, time flies when you're having fun with friends, contract to hire. So your first job was contract to hire. Talk about why maybe more people should look at contract to hire, especially coming out of code school.
Well, for me, it was a pretty obvious thing. The interview for me went well with the company that I was with. I felt like, and I had some interviews too with some, and I was told too, hey, whatever your first job, like whatever your first offer is, just take it. Like you need, like, that's the hardest part is getting the first job. So even if it's under market, like still take it, because once you have that job experience, it's way easier to get to the next job. That was the advice I was given. I still turned down the first offer I got, because there were just red flags all across the board.
Yeah.
But with the contract to hire gig specifically, like it was competitive. It was fully remote. I had a really good conversation with the hiring manager. And then I had a conversation with the whole team that I'd be working with too, like in that second interview. And it was only two interviews, which was also like, cool. You're not going to drag me along this whole time. That was sweet. And the second one, I got to meet the whole team, the team that I work with today. Everyone who I work with today was there, which was really cool. So like I felt really good accepting that offer. And then for me, like there was a lot of confidence too. And like, hey, I'm showing up for work every day. I'm learning every day. And like this company didn't contract to hire me to not hire me on. Like I think like they want to invest in me. You know, and when that contract term was done, it seemed pretty obvious. Like, yeah, we've invested in you a lot, and we're pretty confident in just like offering you the full time position at the end of it all. So
Barrett comes in. I mean, contract to hire is a road to getting screwed. So listen. There are a few topics that cause World War III among people. It's resumes, LinkedIn, and contract to hire. Barrett, I understand what you're saying. But let me ask Casey this. Casey, did they set the expectation that they really wanted to hire this person? Was that ever discussed?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
When it was and for me too. Again, I think that there might be the caveat of this is my first job in tech. So like again, it's like even if I work one contract and they don't hire me at the end of it, it's now I have of experience that I have on a resume. Job number two is going to be way easier to find. So maybe if I'm like in a middle going into a senior level, maybe it's a little bit different of a story, but for someone who had like, and full disclosure, I had like $48 in my bank account at that point. Like I dedicated a year to like everything I'd saved up from working overseas was like depleted after a year.
Yeah.
And it was go time. And it worked out for me. It worked out pretty well. I like the company I work for. I feel like they've been fair with me. They've been really transparent with me. So like that might be part of it too. Maybe some contract to hires aren't as transparent, but it worked out well for me.
And that's where too, I mean, I think going back to Barrett's thing, I think the problem with contract to hire is that job seekers don't always ask the right questions, right? And again, Barrett comes in here and I get it, right? They're all long on promise, short on delivery. I understand that, right? That's why I created the 10 questions to ask recruiters, and those are actually more targeted towards contract to hire, because it takes more onus on the individual to ask questions to make sure they're not getting screwed, right? Does this position have budgetary approval from a salary perspective, the end to go perm? Have you placed people perm before? I mean, there's one company in Nashville that me and my team have in the past placed their entire software engineering team contract to hire. And the reason why this company does contract to hire is the CTO hates the main HR and does everything contract to hire to get past the HR, but then converts all of them, right? So you have to know the story behind contract to hire to make sure you do not get screwed. But I do agree, and I'm not going to deny, most recruiters are shitty. Most companies are shitty. Contract to hire can burn you. I'm not naive to that fact. All right. So Casey, as we wrap up here, I know, you know, we don't have a ton of time to talk about obviously your stuff that you've developed, but do you want to kind of talk about maybe some tools that you're in the process of developing or have posted recently to help other job seekers?
Yeah. So I created a LinkedIn workflow. I built it in Notion. So it's not like heavy tech stuff, but if you've never used Notion before, there can be a learning curve to it. The tool that I've made, it really doesn't require a lot of like knowledge of the platform. And really all it is, it's a checklist with a built-in journal. It's got a recruiter database, a job search database, where you can keep track of all the people you're talking to, all the jobs you've applied for, and where you're at in that process. And then also there's a content creation calendar. It's like a Kanban board type of thing too. And it's just, it's all in one place and you can check off everything that you've done for the day. There's a high energy mode and a low energy mode. Cause you know, like for me, there were days where it was tough, man. There were days where mentally where it was like, I'm on day 62 of not having a job and I've been busting my butt every single day trying to get it. So like there's one where it's like, even on those days where you need to just take a mental break, here's like your minimum viable amount that you can do to say, okay, at least I made progress today. At least I did something today. You can check that out. It's on my LinkedIn, profile. I'll post it again today too, if you're looking for a first job, and it's free. I don't want, like, for me, I could have never afforded a tool like that at the late stage of everything, you know. So I don't want to create, you know, roadblocks for people who are trying to break in. Hopefully it can like help someone who just needs a little bit of for me, I have ADHD. So like checklists are big for me. I need a little bit of structure to help me kind of get through my day. Yeah. And I made something that helps people like me. At least I think it can help people like me. So check it out if you need.
So I'll tag you in the post today if you want to drop the link. And also too, cool. Casey, I would love to house that on my website as well for other people to find it. So let's definitely make that happen. All right. So last question, and we'll wrap it up here. Last question. So we had guidance counselors in middle school and high school, and we kind of had them in college, but now not so much. What would be your best piece of a career advice to your younger self?
That's a great question. Best piece of career advice to your younger self. There's a lot of good ones.
you can have, I usually learn. I ask this. Everyone's like, whoa, that's a great question. Give me a second.
Yeah, no, I'd say the biggest piece of career advice is I would say, be open-minded and try things and ask questions. That, like, I know that's like super vague and big, but like, when I was younger, when I was in college, I was so scared of making mistakes. It prevented me from like trying things a lot of times. And sometimes you just got to learn from mistakes too. Like, so getting rejected from jobs is an important thing to have happen, because in some fields, less so than like in some fields, like when I was teaching English, I got just about every job that I wanted, based just kind of on that industry and what my skills were. Getting into tech though, that first barrier to entry was really big. And so like, I wasn't braced for the amount of rejection I was going to face right away. Mm-hmm. Once it happened enough, and once I kind of learned the game, you know, it's just like, oh, I just got to keep doing it. It's literally not a reflection on me as a person. But you do have to be persistent, and you have to learn things, and you have to be responsive and open to criticism, and you have to, you know, talk to other people who are going through the same thing as you. Yeah. And all that requires is being open-minded, asking questions, and, you know, working through adversity. It's just something you have to do it. And to my younger self, I would say that thing.
I love that. That's awesome. Well, y'all, thank you again for hanging out with us today on Guidance Counselor 2.0. Hopefully you learned something. Casey, thanks again for hanging out with me. You know, Paul,
thanks for having me.
Paul, it's great to see you, buddy. Can't wait to hang out with you at Little Rock Tech Fest this week. You know, Arthur, it's great to see you as well. Casey, everybody seems to be loving that idea. So yeah, Casey, drop that in the link or drop that in the comments. And then I'll house it on my site. Casey, you enjoy the rest of your Monday, man. Y'all have a great one, and we'll see y'all tomorrow. Peace.
Awesome. Have a good one, guys.
Hey, you did it. You listened to an entire episode, and I am very grateful, because you know why? There's a lot of podcasts out there. There's a lot of episodes, and I myself rarely finish an entire episode. So I appreciate you so, so much for listening. Quick reminder, please rate and review this podcast in the App Store. I want this to be discoverable to others. And the only way that happens is if you take the time right now and rate and review it. Please, like right now. Unless you're driving, then don't do it. So thank you again. If you need to reach out to me, taylor@vaco.com or at tdestin on all social media handles. And I hope you have a fantastic day.